This is Will's Band of the Week for March 31st, 2019. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live from Fourth Bedroom Studios, back home.
Yeah, hey everybody. Everything's back.
So we're back in the humble studio.
Yeah.
It feels kind of humble, doesn't it?
Not with this bottle of Lafroy here. Nothing humble about that.
That's true.
That's exciting.
Right. Tonight's podcast is brought to you by Lafroy.
Yeah, it's good. I haven't had a sip yet. Before we do, let's toast the baseball season, which got off to a rousing start today.
Right? It did. Yeah, the Milwaukee Brewers, they're on pace to win 162 games and lose none.
Yeah, it's not likely, but you know.
Well, when you think about it.
You can't win them all if you don't win the first one. That's what I always say.
Why don't they just do whatever they did today and do that every day?
I know.
And establish some consistency. Come on.
Right.
You know, that's what I'd recommend.
But three really great things happened there. Returning MVP.
Right.
Hit a three-run home run.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Yeah.
The pitcher hit a home run.
When the pitcher hits a home run, that's
good. That's a good day.
That's called helping your own cause.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And then Lorenzo Cain pulled a home run from the outfield stands, basically.
You were telling me that he was awesome, and I didn't know what he did that was awesome. But I believe.
Oh, you didn't know what happened at the end?
No, because I just was kind of following the score online.
It was 4-3, and hold on, I'm not in Brewers mode. I can't just name the pitchers off the top of my head. What's that guy's name?
Hader.
Yeah, Josh Hader was in.
Yeah.
Strikes out a guy, maybe another guy, walks somebody, whatever. Two out, guy on first, gives up a long, long fly ball. Right center. It's basically a home run. Cain goes up, snags it for the win. Pulls it from out of the stands.
That's an exciting way to end the game.
Very exciting.
Is that why they call it a game of inches?
Yes.
Because think about it, probably 12 inches more distance on that ball, and he doesn't catch it.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is the game of inches, though? Is that usually used in the terms of in football?
It seems to be, yeah, because in baseball, it's so obvious.
Right. Every game is a game of inches, though.
That would have been a home run, swung and missed it, just missed it by inches.
That
happens every single time.
That's true.
If you miss it by more than inches, that would be insane.
That's a good point. Every single pitch, right. Speaking of game of inches, did you see the basketball game where Duke almost lost last week?
I just heard that happened. I haven't watched any of those games.
I've watched just a few, but so... There was a shot with 5 seconds left, and the other team is down by one, and it just barely rolls off the rim, just kind of rolls, right? And then a guy gets a tip, and he tips it, and it just rolls again. It kind of just dribbles off, and then, you know, the whole team is dejected, lying on their backs.
Oh, my God.
In complete sports dejection mode. But it was so close. I mean, either of those two shots could have... just rolled in instead of rolled out.
Yeah. It was one of those David and Goliath things too, right?
Duke
is the Goliath.
The team that always wins.
Anybody they're playing, they're Goliath.
And 80% of the entire country is always rooting against Duke, right?
Yeah.
Because they're sort of too good. They're kind of like the New England Patriots of basketball because they kind of win too much and it makes them no fun, basically.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm sorry that you had to miss our big wrap-up podcast last week.
Yeah,
that was very fun.
Sorry I missed it, and I listened to it, and you guys all did a nice job.
Weren't you thinking, oh, no, he should have said this. Oh, he should have said this. No, that was not acceptable. You must have been thinking in those terms.
I guess it's a little I was on injured reserve, and I'm watching the game on TV at home.
Right.
And
knowing that you could have performed better.
I'm just teasing. No, I don't think so. You guys did a perfect job. But yeah, no, it's great to be back in the studio. Last time I recorded, it was out in the parking garage.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was memorable, right?
That was.
Those were fun, weren't they?
They were fun.
Those remote recordings.
Kind of impromptu. We didn't do one the second night.
Right. We were too separated the second night.
Yeah, that was like that was a weird night.
There were no more than two people in the same place, I think. So we were kind of all scattered.
Right.
So then we made a point to make sure we got back together on the third night.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good meal.
Yeah, we did. That was nice.
Yeah. Very good.
Speaking of South by Southwest, I know we've got some deaths of the week coming up this week. We shouldn't put this one in there, but
yeah,
one of the bands that played there from Liverpool, they're named HERS, H-E-R apostrophe S, and they died in a car accident on tour in California today. And I don't know, it's just horrible. You know, we think about, you know, how meaningful and whatever the South by Southwest was for us. You know, it changed me and how I think about music and stuff. I was really invigorated. And
yeah,
you imagine for the bands, like, wow, what a great experience. And then,
right,
you know, to have that happen, just awful. So it was very sad to hear that.
Yeah. Really terrible.
Yeah.
So, I don't think any of us saw them out there, but I remember seeing their name.
Yeah.
And they seemed to be, like, you said they played at a pretty big venue.
I saw that band, The Comet Is Coming, and they were fantastic. And it was Friday night at 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
And at midnight, like right after them, at this big thing that they call the British Music Embassy, and the BBC rented this thing out, and it was really swanky. They played immediately afterwards.
Wow. You know,
midnight on Friday night. That's a pretty big slot.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, yeah. So, I don't know if I mentioned they were from Liverpool.
Yeah, you did. Yep.
So,
yeah, it was horrible.
The two of them, it's two people in the band and their tour manager,
mm-hmm,
all died.
Yeah. We said this already, but isn't it amazing how many bands, how international the whole thing was?
Yeah.
You know, I really would have guessed that you'd have sort of a smattering of bands from all over, but then you'd have a whole bunch of bands that took their vans down from
right,
wherever in the United States. But it turned out it was, 75% of the bands we saw were probably from outside the United States.
Yeah, it seems that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless, you know, maybe part of it is just like the bands that we happen to choose to see.
Right.
There's so many bands. We didn't exactly see a high percentage of the whole festival, you know?
It's right,
crazy how big
right,
it is.
I mean, because we come away thinking like, oh yeah, we saw all the big stuff that everybody's talking about. And then you read the highlights from like Spin and Rolling Stone and Brooklyn Vegan or whatever. It's like, I didn't see any of that stuff.
Yeah. You didn't even know about it. Yeah.
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 But no, I think, I mean, I'm glad that we saw a lot of things that you can't necessarily see coming through Madison, and that's some of the bands
right,
that came a long way. That, you know,
yeah,
if you're a small band and you're in Asia, you're coming here on your vacation from work,
mm-hmm,
and afterwards you got to go right home. You're not playing a show in Madison or much less, you know, whatever, Chicago or anywhere. You just got to go back,
right?
So
back to cold hard reality. Well,
yeah,
like we felt that way. Imagine for the bands.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go back to work and somebody, yeah, you'd be like, you just were in front of these adoring crowds and stuff, and then you get back and your boss yells at you and tells you, don't go make a pot of coffee.
Right.
You're like, I'm a rock star, man.
You're like, wait a minute, don't you understand? I was just at South by Southwest. I'm cool. You don't understand.
I don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
But actually, you do. That's that's what's sad.
Right. Yep. All right. Very good. So we have had so many podcasts where we say something to the effect of, any deaths this week? Nope. That's great. The Aging Rockers lasted another week, right? Well, our luck ran out, kind of, didn't it?
Yeah.
Now, this is over the course of probably now 3 or 4 weeks. We've got 4 deaths of the week this week. So this could take a while. It could be almost a whole podcast. But I think overall, when you look at the entire picture, the jingle is appropriate here, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And now it's time for the death of the week.
Why don't we start with Hal Blaine?
Yeah.
He was kind of the senior, well, he was 90.
Mm-hmm.
Lived in California, and he was a famous member of the Wrecking Crew, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was a drummer and played on all kinds of famous stuff because he was, and I read, I don't know if this is correct, but I read something that said that he's the one who came up with the name, the Wrecking Crew.
Oh, that's pretty cool too.
And there's a documentary we've probably talked about before. Have you seen that? There's a documentary about the Wrecking Crew.
I don't think I have
seen that. I don't even know if it's called the Wrecking Crew, but it's cool. It's really fun.
It'd be pretty dumb to call it something besides that.
Yeah.
Call it just like backup band. That would be a, or not like a very good name.
Guys in session the studio. Musicians. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's funny because on the Wikipedia page for Hal Blaine, where it says associated acts, the first one that's listed, it says the Wrecking Crew.
That's funny.
And then it lists, obviously, things that he played on. The Beach Boys, the Byrds, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Johnny Rivers, Simon and Garfunkel, Neil Diamond, John Denver, Barbara Streisand, the Captain and Tennille. Boy, that's pretty impressive, the Captain
yeah.
And the Carpenters.
No, Daryl Dragon and Hal Blaine, both gone. Daryl Dragon's the captain.
Oh, yeah.
He died last year. We never talked about that.
Tennille, Tony Tennille's still alive, I think, right?
Yep, think so.
And the Carpenters, the Captain and Tennille and the Carpenters kind of seem like the same thing. Although the Carpenters were more,
they were more,
I think
legit.
They were better. Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin, I really Carpenter. Like the Carpenter. I love the, like the string of hits from, you know, like 70 to 70, whatever, four right. or five. Like those are really great songs.
Karen Carpenter died a long time
yeah,
ago, right?
Yeah, she died a long time
who
ago.
Who was the guy, the Carpenter's guy?
Her brother, Richard.
Okay.
He did all the arranging and stuff.
So it wasn't the captain.
No, that would have been yeah.
The captain and Karen.
Yeah,
would have been interesting.
I think the captain and Tennille were married at one point, and then
sounds
got divorced
right.
while they were still in act. Like maybe they got divorced in 1975.
Yeah,
but they were so huge. It would be like if you and I stopped being friends, we'd have to yeah. keep doing this because this thing has just got. So
it's
much
gotten
momentum.
So big, right? We're like Fleetwood Mac.
Right.
Fleetwood Mac of podcasting.
I would be like, in you, listeners can't see this, but there's a door here.
Yeah.
A little closet. I would be in there, so I wouldn't
right.
have to look at you.
Right, exactly. And we'd keep a professional air about us.
Right.
But underlying, we would really hate each other.
As soon as you turn off the mics or whatever, like, I don't even say anything. I just walk out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be good. Yeah, we're done recording. It'd just be like, you just turn around and walk away. All right. Hal Blaine. Well, I had heard the name Hal Blaine, and he was famous. I didn't know what he was most known for, but, you know, there's kind of one that sort of stands out, right?
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before, right? We did do a podcast about it.
Mm-hmm.
The Be My Baby drum beat, and that's Hal Blaine.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
That's really cool. And anybody that hasn't listened to that, to the podcast for long enough to have heard that one, when you hear this little snippet that we're going to play, remember it and try to recognize it because it comes up all the time.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Yep. Be My Baby. That's Hal Blaine playing drums from the 1963 song,
mm-hmm.
Be My Baby.
The Ronettes. You know, Ronnie Spector played at the Gobbler last September.
Really?
Yeah. I heard about it early in the summer. I was like, I'm definitely going to that. And then you know how that goes. You just sort of forget.
Right.
Until it's over. But she is awesome.
Are they still doing shows at the Gobbler? Somebody bought it.
Somebody bought it. And I think they do. They have some pretty big shows. I think a lot of the things I think are like a Christian stuff. Occasionally they'll have like actual things that you'd want to do.
The Gobbler is along the highway between Madison and Milwaukee. And it's this bizarre kind of, what is it, 60s or 70s?
60s.
Yeah. And it's a round building.
Right.
And I think they hosted a lot of wedding receptions and things, right?
Yeah, it was just like a supper club.
It was a restaurant, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then it closed.
Rotating and, purple shag bar.
Yeah, and it was closed for quite a long time, right? Long time. 5 or 10 years, maybe?
Occasionally it would pop up as like a Mexican restaurant or a this or that, but nothing ever really stuck.
And then somebody bought it like 2 years ago and said they were going to book live shows, and I really never saw any listings of anything playing. But Ronnie Spector, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's
good. You know, I think it's stuff, they would do things that, they would compete with the casinos for things, you know, and it would be a lot. I mean, we saw obviously the famous night of 38 Special.
Yeah.
As magical as that night was, and it was magical.
It was.
The venue was lacking. Yeah. It was horrible.
It was in a hotel conference room.
Yeah, just like a, you know, they call it like a ballroom.
You set up
room,
the chairs,
like when you go to
a
conference. It's not a ballroom.
Right. Not even. Yeah.
And
38 Special at the Gobbler. Now that would be cool.
That'd be unreal. Yeah. I would go see anybody at the Gobbler, really. I mean.
Right. Well, you know, it would be logical if Ronnie Spector played there. I think Eddie Money should play at the Gobbler.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Then Ronnie could come and do that backing vocal thing. Right? Remember the Eddie Money song with Ronnie
Spector?
Take
Me Home Tonight?
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that'd be cool. How about REO Speedwagon at the Gobbler? That would seem appropriate.
That'd be good.
They're kind of too big, though. You know, some of the bands...
It'd be like a special evening with Kevin Cronin.
Yeah.
At the Gobbler.
Intimate.
Gary Richrath died.
Yeah, that's right, he did.
And then, you know, there's just Kevin, Gary, and the other guys.
You know what would be great? Supertramp at the Gobbler.
Whoa, yeah.
Did you see that article? Was it David? I think David shared it with us. And it was in the New York Times, and it was about bands that have been around for so long that they're touring with their original band name, and there literally is nobody from the original band in the band. It's only a trademark, right? So what happens is there's like this continual replacement of band members, right?
Right.
So then you get to the point where it's only the lead singer and there's like four new guys, and then the lead singer leaves or quits or can't sing anymore, and they get a new guy, and then they still call it the same band name.
Right.
There are literally bands touring where there's nobody original. Most of them have at least one, but
like in the year 2040, that would be like, say if Jeremiah, like say all of us, either some of us died. Like you and me were dead or whatever, and then some of the younger people quit, and
right,
and it was just Jeremiah, and then like
three other guys or four
three other guys
we've never
some
met
of,
before.
Some have are like babies right now.
Yeah,
and he's still doing it. And
right,
it's called Will's Band of the Week. Would you object to that?
Boy, I think it would be an outrage.
Really?
Yeah,
but you would be dead.
No, I wouldn't.
Would really like make no difference.
I'd hand it over to Jeremiah for sure. If it makes him a millionaire, that'd be great. All the power to him.
Yeah.
By the way, are we going to declare Jeremiah an official correspondent?
Yeah, I thought we did that. We did it, you know.
I think we bonded sufficiently down at South by Southwest that it's kind of understood, right?
Remember like early on in the week, he was like, oh, you guys should do, and we're like, what do you mean you guys? Say we. We. It's we now.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah,
like,
you're in
the
club
now. Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah.
But then like 4 hours later, hey, you guys should... It's like, Jeremiah, you know, you're a fully fledged member of the thing now.
Yeah, it only took like 4 hours.
Yeah.
He had a four-hour audition.
Yeah.
And he passed.
Yep.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, there we go.
So yeah, that could happen where he's like the only, you know... I guess a better analogy would be... Well, no, that's perfect. I was going to take it a step further. Like, then someday Jeremiah would quit, and then they would still come with people that had never even met us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we've only gotten to one death of the week. We've got four. It's going to be a two-hour podcast. All right, do you have a preferred order, or should we just go with the order that there's on my computer right here?
I don't know. Let me take a look. Sure, we can do Scott Walker next.
So I didn't know that much about Scott Walker. This was a name that came up, and I remember when he came out with that album, The Drift.
Yeah.
Was that 2006, maybe?
I don't know.
Something like that. And, you know, and I would read about it, but I never went back and figured out who he was or anything about it.
Right.
And it seemed like, am I remembering this right, that on that album he sang in a real, like, a falsetto a lot? He had this really, like, high voice is what I remembered. And then I went back and listened to some of his old stuff, and it's like, he's more like a Leonard Cohen kind of sounding guy.
Yeah, except, like the same register, but so much better than Leonard Cohen at singing. Like,
so you know way more about Scott Walker than me. So it's okay, all
yeah, he's he was I think he died at 76.
Right. Yep.
And he was born just outside of Cincinnati. Did some recording in the 50s that he listened to it, and it doesn't sound anything at all like even like an adult. I guess he was, you know, pretty young at that time. In the early to mid 60s, he and some bandmates moved to England, and they were called the Walker Brothers, although Scott Walker's name is Scott Engle, and then the other two guys were like Gary Walker and whatever Walker, and they were not Walkers either, and none of them were related. They were just in a band. Anyway, they became kind of, like pop stars, teen idols in Great Britain. Never made it super big here, although there was a song called The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore. You ever heard of that song?
Hmm.
If you heard
it,
you would definitely recognize it. Kind of a, you know, a one-hit wonder in the United States, but, you know, kind of a teen idol thing, and even really for a very, very short time, rivaling, like, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones for popularity.
Wow. Like, that's saying a lot.
Like a very, very short time. Anyway, they broke up, and he recorded these four albums. It's called Scott 1, Scott 2, 3, and 4, with a lot of covers and kind of like a pre-rock sound to a lot of them. He covered this Belgian singer named Jacques Brel, did a bunch of his songs, and kind of operatic oddball songs. Anyway. After that, he kind of disappeared for a little while, and then he had some reunions with the Walker Brothers and stuff. And then he did his really weird, like, avant-garde stuff. And reading all the obituaries, that's kind of what the article is concentrated on, which I think is a mistake. Because I think his stuff from, like, 67 to 70 and 71, those first four Scott Walker albums are, that's why anybody even paid any attention to the later stuff. They're so uniformly awesome. There's always, like, each of the songs has something kind of weird about it. So I picked one called Plastic Palace People. And this one, you have to let it play. There's kind of two parts. There's the beginning where they're talking about this kid that's floating in the sky, and he's got a string tied to his underwear, right? And whatever. I can't really describe the zaniness that is this song, but let's just play it.
Over the rooftop sails Billy, a string tied to his underwear. Through cobblestone streets a child races and shouts, Billy, come down from there. My mother's calling, his voice whimpers, a string clutched in his tiny hand. not till I've seen the skies not lit up in tears. Child, try and understand. Don't pull a string. Don't bring me down. Don't make me laugh. Plastic palace people sing silent songs. They've dreamed too long. Their memories just stare. Plastic Palace Alice, she steals her car's tomorrow deals with deafening despair. Hurry, you got to get
high. Then it goes back to the kid flying around in his underwear theme. And then back to the Plastic Palace people and stuff. And I don't know. Like, if you were listening in a foreign language, if you didn't speak English, I'm not sure it would have the same impact. Because you're like, what the fuck is, what is that? What are you talking about? You know, if he was speaking in French, it would be enjoyable, but you'd really be missing something.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. That's what Scott Walker is to me, more so than the aggressively oddball stuff he did in the 80s and beyond.
The second part of that song has such a classic 60s sound, right?
Totally. Oh my God. I can listen to that forever.
I was thinking, is that Hal Blaine on drums?
Yeah, seriously. You know? It's just lush and
yeah,
so professionally produced. And, you know, so I don't know. Here's this guy that was in, you know, a teeny bopper teen idol band. Gave that up, did this, which is like, you know, kind of a, I don't know what, pre-rock. I don't even know exactly what that sound is, but, and then went even further than that with some stuff that you can listen to on your own. We won't play it here, but, yeah, interesting guy. And now he's dead. I'm kind of sad about that.
Scott Walker. All right. On to the next death of the week.
Yeah.
Dick Dale died.
Yeah.
Now, that's another one. I'd heard so much about Dick Dale. But, you know, you didn't have to know a whole lot about Dick Dale to know what he was known for.
Right.
Because if you go to the Wikipedia page, his birth name was Richard Anthony Mansour. But then it says, also known as the King of the Surf Guitar. Right?
Yeah.
In capitals. Like, that's his title.
That's pretty cool.
So I've been, you know, playing in this surf band lately, so I have a new appreciation for this whole style.
Oh, wow. Which I didn't know that.
Pretty fun, yeah.
I bet.
I'm sure we'll have to add a Dick Dale song. I think we were actually contemplating adding one. We hadn't yet. So
it'd be hard to play his most famous one because it is so thrilling. You're like, man, to get somebody to play it well enough.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully the bass parts aren't too hard.
So, yeah, probably not.
I'll leave that to our guitar player who can play some pretty darn good surf stuff, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Dick Dale, he was 81, lived in California, and played a lot of surf music.
He also played in Madison pretty much every year for the last 20 years.
He played a whole bunch of shows here.
I saw him three times.
I never went.
Yeah.
So did he have a good live show?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. You know, he'd save the big one until kind of late in the thing, but all the rest of it was also super cool. He played left-handed with his guitar strung. Well, it didn't change the strings.
So he played a right-handed guitar, but he played it left-handed.
Upside down.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some people who do that.
Yeah.
Did Hendrix do that, or did he have a...
He restrung it, so it was traditionally strung. But it's like, looks like it's upside down, but... I mean, he had the fat strings on top.
Okay.
So that's not what Dick Dale did.
Got a cat in the studio now. This is the cat that Chris kicked out last time.
Yeah.
But now she's going to take her rightful place on Chris's chair as an act of defiance against Chris. Yeah. She's saying hi.
I don't think that's what she said. She was, it was a message for Chris.
I think it was not what you... Right. I think you're right. Yeah. So Dick Dale, God, his catalog must be huge. But you put together a playlist here.
Yeah. And you know, so, we just watched the movie Pulp Fiction. Have you seen that?
Yeah, a long time ago.
The first scene is in a restaurant, and these two criminals, man and a woman, talking about, why doesn't anybody ever rob a restaurant? It's a good point. Why don't they? And then they just stood up and announced to everybody that they were robbing it. And the movie starts with kind of a cold opening, and then they have this intense scene where they're telling everybody that they're going to rob it. And then, bam, the Dick Dale thing comes in, and then you get like the title sequence, and it's the most exciting start to a movie that I can think of. So
okay, we're going to play the whole thing here.
Yeah, if you just play the little dialogue thing, maybe people will remember this from the movie because it was fantastic.
I love you, Pumpkin.
I love you, honey bunny.
Everybody be cool, this is a robbery!
Any of you fucking pricks move! And I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you!
Pretty good legacy if you get be remembered for one thing, you know.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
That made me think, on one level, surf music like that is just kind of fun and goofy, and literally you think about people on surfboards, right? And another level, if you put it in that context of a dark movie like that, it feels like there's a little dark edge
it's like
underneath.
Sinister.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah, because that should just be evocative of like sunshine and surf and sand.
Right.
But it's not.
Yeah. In the context of robbing a restaurant, it takes on a different meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Three deaths of the week, and we got one more. The last one was kind of a little bit of a shock, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, so
young guy.
These first three were, you know, not that 76 is that old. 90, you know, you're kind of thinking, okay, well, you know, the person, you know, might not live that much longer. It's
right.
But this one now is a guy who was only 56.
Yeah.
Ranking Roger from the band that we called the English Beat, but they were the Beat.
Right.
But there was some other Beat.
It was the Paul Collins Beat.
The Paul Collins Beat, right? Yeah. But then they started calling themselves the Paul Collins Beat, right? It must have been some big legal battle, right?
Because I don't know. Maybe. Or maybe just they were like, people are going to get confused.
Right.
Maybe they weren't going to, maybe it wasn't a legal thing, but just a logistics thing.
There was the same thing. Exact analogy was Squeeze, right?
Yeah. UK Squeeze.
Yeah.
But then they stopped that really soon.
Right.
Afterwards.
Yeah. Well, anyway. So I still think of them as the English Beat.
Yeah.
But probably Craig probably would think that we're complete dorks for calling them that, right? Because they're not. They're just the Beat.
Well, they broke up before Craig was born.
That's true.
So
he has no grounds.
He doesn't even care.
I should not have even mentioned his name because he's not He's not worthy of even being mentioned in this discussion. He's too young.
He doesn't get a vote in.
Nope. So I was, you and I discussed this just briefly on a text exchange. But in my mind, the hits were sung by the other guy, Dave Wakeling.
Yeah, for sure.
And when I saw them a couple of years ago at the High Noon, it was really fun. But they had split, and so there was a band with Dave Wakeling and a different band with Ranking Roger. Right. So they had a Ranking Roger replacement guy. And he was great. He was fine. But it wasn't him.
No, it wasn't the guy. It wasn't the right guy.
Right. So, yeah. But then you said that Ranking Roger actually sang a lot of the songs, or maybe even the majority.
He would, kind of come in. I think they call it toasting, and he'd come in and do something in like this kind of Jamaican patois kind of a thing, to kind of, add a different element to the songs. But in a few cases, he was the main singer, like the song Wine and Grind / Stand on Margaret. He's the main guy in that one. And then in this other one that we picked too.
You know, the whole style of basically back in roughly like 1980, right? Yeah. Reggae got morphed into ska, which is like fast reggae, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I never liked reggae, and I still just can't really get into it. But when it got to the ska bands, they were fun. They were dancing all over the place, and they had a spirit about them that was really unique to the time, and you don't really see that.
Right.
It's kind of gone out of style again, I guess.
That was definitely my thing when I was like 16.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Beat, English Beat, Specials, Madness, Selector. Yeah. Those are my favorites.
There you
favorites,
go. That's,
you know?
you just named the influential bands of that genre. So, all right. So we're going to play a Ranking Roger song from the English Beat, Ranking Full Stop. Ranking Roger. So in addition to the Beat, he was in the spin-off band General Public.
Yeah.
Wasn't Dave Wakeling in that?
Yeah,
too?
It was just those two guys.
Yeah.
And then the bass player and the guitar split off and were Fine Young Cannibals with that. Yeah. What's the guy's name? Something I can't remember. But they had one really big album that was bigger than anything the English Beat did in the United States, and then just disappeared.
And then I would have gotten these two mixed up. There was Fine Young Cannibals, and then there was also Big Audio Dynamite. But
yeah.
Didn't Big Audio Dynamite have Mick Jones from The Clash?
That was Mick Jones from The Clash.
Okay,
yeah.
So I saw them.
Wow.
Because they opened for U2 in the stadium.
What stadium?
Camp Randall.
They did?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was U2 with openers Big Audio Dynamite. So that means I probably saw Ranking Roger, right? And Mick Jones.
I don't know. Ranking Roger was not in Big Audio Dynamite.
That's, Wikipedia says that he was.
Really?
Yeah, but maybe not in that.
Maybe at some other time, a little later. Definitely not in the first two albums, though, I don't think.
Hmm.
Or maybe, they very well could have been there. Shattered your, you know what?
So maybe, isn't
now
it
that
funny?
I think about it, it's certain that he was there. I'm sorry,
like,
I was wrong.
I might have seen,
He definitely did.
It's kind of fun to think back and actually be able to say that I saw Mick Jones play live.
That's really cool.
Right? Even though I was sitting a mile away in a stadium for a U2 after their prime show. But it was like, well, they're at the stadium.
That was, I mean, that was a long time
might as
ago.
Well
it was 25
go.
Years ago, right?
It was in the 90s. They played, U2 played twice at Camp Randall. They played the time I saw them, which was roughly, I'm going to say like 1994. And then I think they played again in 97 or 98 when they had that Zoo TV thing. And I was like, I hated that so much. I'm like, I'm not going. That's just, that is, it's out of bounds. You know, just not doing it.
Yeah.
But that's kind of fun, right?
That's super fun.
Yeah.
They don't do concerts there anymore. I know they had the Rolling Stones Pink Floyd.
Right.
Those are, I mean,
yeah.
You think about the big stadium tour acts, you know, really of the last 30 years. And that's three of the top 10.
I think they could do, like, Springsteen could play Camp Randall. He could fill that place. You know, obviously McCartney could. Could do, how about Coldplay and Arcade Fire?
No, I don't think so. They'd be playing at, I don't know.
Radiohead?
BTS could fill that place right now.
Could Radiohead play a stadium?
Probably I don't
not
think
here.
So.
Not here, they're not big enough.
No. You know?
They could play at Bruce Stevens.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
They should do that.
Yeah.
Instead, they get like Hootie and the Blowfish or whatever. I mean, they just don't get, you know.
They've had some pretty okay stuff.
Wilco played there. Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Okay.
Ryan Adams.
Oh, he had some bad press, didn't he?
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. Yeah. But that's not.
We briefly talked about that, I think. All right. Enough of that. Okay, now, it's like, well, we can sign off now. Four deaths of the week.
Yeah.
Plus a death that was too tragic to even be in the death of the week discussion, right?
Did I lose track? We had Dick Dale.
Scott Walker. Hal Blaine.
Okay, yeah, right.
Ranking
okay.
Roger.
Yeah, that was four.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Let's hope the aging rockers stay alive for a while so we don't have to do one of these for a while, right?
I hope so. I mean, once in a while, to have one is fine.
Right.
It's only natural. But
it's natural. Yep.
That was too much.
Hear that? Barrett's glass of Lafroy is empty, and I feel bad for him. So
no, don't worry about that.
We're going to get a little more Lafroy. You know, to be able to get through a podcast hanging out here in the Fourth Bedroom Studios, you need a little bit of Lafroy, right?
Definitely. We're drinking these from these specially made glasses.
Right? Will's Band of the Week, compliments of Jeremiah.
Yep.
It says, holding on loosely since 2009.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been doing, basically.
We don't hold on to these glasses loosely. I hold on to this really tight.
Yeah, we're holding on securely.
Yeah, because it's got some condensation and stuff.
But we are not letting go, so that part of the
that's
lyric
true.
Is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we might lose control if we have too much of this,
if you cling too tightly.
Yeah.
It could slip if you grip it too tightly.
Right.
All right. We have a couple bands, right? Now the podcast can start, right?
Yeah, now that it's 45 minutes in.
Right. So, I've been wanting to talk about this Hand Habits album for about the last month.
Mm-hmm.
When we were just starting to do the South by Southwest planning, I had this on my playlist, and I really liked the album from, I think, 2 years ago. It was in my top 10. And this one's great, too. Just enjoyable. Really good songwriting. I'll comment some more, but why don't we just play a track? I am going to start with... Well, first of all, let's say that the album is titled Placeholder. The song I'm going to play is called Pacify.
Far
Hand Habits.
Yeah, that's great.
I don't know if you're as high on this album as I am, but I keep listening to it and thinking, song after song, they're just great. I don't use this adjective a lot, but just beautiful songs.
Yeah.
It's just, wow, they nailed it again.
Yeah, for sure.
Almost saw them in Portland about a year and a half ago with my son. And there was a five-band lineup at this cool ballroom in Portland called the Crystal Ballroom. And the first band playing was Hand Habits. And we got there like 40 minutes after it started and missed the whole thing.
That's too bad.
A little bit sad. You know who was next, though? Jay Somm. And we're going to see Jay Somm next week.
Yeah.
Opening for... Oh, wait. We won't say who, right?
Ooh, yeah.
It's going to be a special live report.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Cool. Did you listen enough to make
a pick? I did. I listened to this quite a bit. I'm going to pick the one after that. It's called Jessica.
When I get to thinking, I start worrying.
Habits.
Yeah, you know, one thing about this, the songs do just sound so great, and when you pay attention, you can tell there's something really going on with the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And all the reviews talk about how the beauty of the music kind of masks the sadness of the lyrics and stuff, and I have not gone and kind of really read through the lyrics as the songs are playing, but
yeah,
you kind of have that to look forward to after, you know. Just like enjoy the way the music sounds for a while and then add another dimension that you can like later, you know, if yeah. you're so inclined.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think it's a very consistent album, just all good. But just coincidentally, my next pick was the next track.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're going with 3, 4, and 5, the heart of the album. But I just think this one is really exceptional. It's called Your Heart Reprise. Reprise. Is it reprise? Reprise.
People hear it both ways.
Reprise. I think
I'd say reprise.
Reprise. So now we can't have that clumsy conversation.
Sure, we can. We just did. If we cut out all the clumsy conversation, what would be left?
Oh, so we should just leave it all in.
Yeah.
Okay.
The faces, the eyes.
Hand Habits.
Yeah. So the main singer and songwriter, what's her name? Do you know?
Meg Duffy.
Meg Duffy. She's from upstate New York and moved to L.A., right?
For indie rock stardom.
So.
Has played with Kevin Morby.
Yeah, guitarist for Kevin Morby.
Seems like Kevin Morby has a lot of indie rock cred.
Whenever I hear his stuff, it's like I always like it, but I never listen to it unless it just comes up in a random thing. I don't know why.
Wait, it's like you should like it more.
Yeah.
Like, was
he I really liked Woods.
Yeah, he's been involved in a lot of great stuff, and he's got an album coming out in the next month or so. So that'll be fun to hear.
But anyway,
yeah.
Despite the bi-coastal nature of her, this has got a local connection.
Oh, it was recorded at Bon Iver's studio.
Yeah, in Eau Claire, just up the interstate from Madison.
So basically, personal friends of us.
Pretty much.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Right? How come we're not hanging out up there? We should be just kind of like, I don't know, just hanging out in Eau Claire, downtown.
Jealousy.
And people would just run into us and be like, well, yeah. I mean, we're Wisconsin guys.
Totally.
We're indie rock journalists.
We would fit in really well. They have a bar up there. What is it called? The Joint. G-O-Y-N-T.
We'd probably have to grow beards, though, wouldn't we?
Not necessarily.
Hmm.
We're each wearing right now...
plaid.
Plaid, kind of flannel. Yours looks like it might be flannel. Mine's just cotton.
Right, yeah.
But we would fit in just fine.
You got the cool glasses.
Get a beer.
I would have the glasses, but I had the eye surgery, so I... But I could wear glasses
could
that
wear
have
some
no
fake glasses.
Yeah, just glasses with just plain lenses. No,
right.
No prescription. Yeah.
Yeah. People are getting a weird impression of what Eau Claire must be like.
It's fine, right? It's just it's a college town.
It's right.
A small college town.
Yeah. It's like Stevens Point, La Crosse, Eau Claire. They were totally indistinguishable.
Pretty
much. Until about, what was that, 10 years ago?
Until Bon Iver made Eau Claire famous. Yeah.
And then one of his childhood friends is actually the producer of this album, right? And I tried to Google it real quick, real sneaky-like, during the song. All you can come up with is, like, it was recorded at Bon Iver's. It's like, come on, this is the guy that was the producer, his friend, and he gets no credit in these articles. It's really sad.
It'd be like if you recorded with a Neve mixer, and the only thing you mentioned was this is recorded on a Neve mixer, and you didn't even mention who did it, right?
Totally. So, yeah, it's not right.
Yeah, it isn't. It's interesting because sometimes I find that when I learn where something was recorded, I overthink it, like to think, oh, it sounds like whatever. And this album sounds really good, right? It sounds really, you know, kind of natural, but kind of lush and, you know, deep, warm, just it's very well recorded.
It is, in contrast to the other one, which is nice, but it's like much more of a bedroom recording.
Right, kind exactly. Of sound. Right. Yep. I see the merits in the lo-fi recording, but I think they did a great job with this one. Yeah. All right. So we've been kind of serious, right? This is sort of serious.
Yeah.
We're gonna go kind of non-serious now, aren't we?
Yeah.
So I think this is a band that was down at South by Southwest that none of us even saw, right? Did any of our...
Somebody saw him through a fence.
Okay.
And I know Jeremiah got a really good picture of the drummer.
Oh, I think I remember seeing
that. It's like a really great picture that should be on the back of an album. But yeah.
The band is called Chai. And it's sort of like a band that we kept talking about that would be fun to see. And we didn't see him, and then several of us listened to the album and thought, this is a fun album, right?
I only listened to it after the whole thing was
right,
over.
Yeah, me too.
I got home and I listened to it, and I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, because it would be the perfect kind of band that would be really fun to see at that in that context, right? Because it's not, I don't know, it's not too serious, it's just really fun.
Super fun.
And
they're from Japan.
Yeah.
They're actually playing at Pitchfork. So, almost a reason to go down for that. Do you want to describe their aesthetic, or should we just play a song first?
Let's play a song first, because if I try to describe it, I'll get it wrong. But do you want to take the first pick?
Sure.
I've got a couple, but why don't you go ahead?
All right. Well, this is really tough. I'm going to pick a second song. It's called Great Job.
We'll be right back.
That's Chai. Yeah.
I don't know. I've listened to it, I don't know how many times, 12 times. Like, each time.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I'll, like, either be, like, a mild reaction or be smiling all the time. And sometimes, like, actually laughing.
Yeah.
Like, out music, of, not, like, at it, but out of just, like, happiness. It's right. So
yeah.
Fun.
When something can make you laugh, that's just a great sign. I have moments, I don't know how you react to these things, but like, I think I was talking about how at South by Southwest, I would go and see a band, and especially early in the day, because it's like, for some reason, like when you first see a band, just really hits you for some reason. That was my experience. But I would get this experience where the band, I'm standing in front of the band, and it's so, like, the connection is so intense that, like slight tears start coming into my eyes.
Wow.
I don't know if you ever get that. Like, I would get that at times. But I also had...
Yes, I did.
But I also had the experience where I would literally start laughing out of just pure joy.
Yep.
Right? You just
both
start,
of those things happen
yeah,
to me.
And it's just, like, it's so great.
That's incredible. Yeah.
And they're both just great, like, emotions to experience when watching a live band.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you're right. This band would tend toward the, you'd be laughing because you're just watching it and you're like, the, you know, just the joy of it is
just the absolute, right, unbridled joy.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable. Yeah. You know, and it helps to kind of have heard a little bit about it and read, like, what they're doing and stuff. And so I'll give you, like, my understanding of it. I'm not sure it's complete or entirely accurate, but, you know, you think about Japanese culture, you think like Hello Kitty and lots of cutesy stuff,
right,
and
right,
like the kind of the hyper cute, bright colored pop music kind of stuff that you sort of associate. Maybe it's not like everything, but it's what we are exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about cuteness, and there's a word called, I'm not maybe going to pronounce it correctly, but it's kawaii. It's spelled exactly like Hawaii, but it starts with a K.
Mm-hmm.
And this band is kind of rebelling against that a little bit, right? So they're like, that last song that I played was about, it's called Great Job, and it's about doing housework and stuff, and sort of just like rebelling against those expectations and stuff. You know, like there's a part about, you know, oh, you do housework, it's a great job, it's a great job. And they're like laughing. And then the chorus is, get power. What is it? It's so funny. Get power, fresh feeling. You know, it's just like, what is that? But it's all like lightly subversive. And then there's other stuff about like, you know, talking about like one of the things is there's something in Japanese. And then like, you know, just urging women to resist and rise up and blah, blah, blah. So they're kind of subverting that whole cuteness thing. But at the same time, it's so unbelievably cute. And it's not like unintentional. They know what they're doing. It's just, I don't know. It's super, super fun. And if you read along to the lyrics, that makes it all the better. So do you have a pick too?
Yeah. I'm going to go with the next one, number three. I'm Me.
Everybody special guys, 本当はシャイなピでしょ。ハンサムに見せて。
Yeah.
So when you're reading along here, you can see that there's English mixed with Japanese, and they don't spell out the Japanese phonetically.
Right.
Rather, it's with Japanese characters and stuff. So they're very fluid between, in the lyric, between the Japanese and the English and stuff. So mm-hmm. when you hear something English followed by something that you don't recognize, you're, that's just what they're doing. And I don't know, it's, I just really, really like it.
Very fun. The lyrics are consistent with the whole spirit of the whole thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right, one more track from Chai.
All right, let's go. Anytime a band has a song that kind of introduces who they are,
yeah,
you kind of got to go with that. So this is Chai, which is characteristically happy song on this album. Chai.
Yep.
C-H-A-I, Chai.
This we is are Chai. Yep. So the genre here says J-pop.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's accurate, but I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean.
Doesn't matter whether it's accurate or not.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, it is Japanese pop, but I don't know. I'm not an expert in that.
Does anybody ever play at South by Southwest 2 years in a row? Seems like they never do, right?
They did, right?
Maybe a few. I don't know. Did they play last year?
They played. You know who's played there frequently? I don't even want to mention them because Craig always is going to jump all over me. Everybody does.
Hmm.
Otoboke Beaver.
Oh,
they
really?
Played there the last 3 years.
Oh, really? Hmm. All right.
And
well, I missed him this year. So. Yeah, that was the biggest controversy
we had. I got so much
shit
for liking that.
Yeah.
But when I was, so I saw it with kind of the whole gang at Valhalla. I was standing somewhere like in the middle, and it was late, and it's like, oh, I like it, you know. But then I saw it the next day at, it was Friday at like 2:30 at Mohawk Indoor, and I was right in front, and I had that sensation of laughing, crying, like, not like crying, but like tears of, like, not tears, you know what I mean? Just like sort of like a single, like your eyes are getting pretty watery.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, I was just up there like, are you fucking, you know, are you fucking kidding me? It was so happy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the music is a little bit frenzied, but they do like a stop and start thing, and they're so, so unbelievably disciplined and tight and having a good time. And I was just blown away.
Well, I wanted to see them, and There must be some reason that I missed them the first night.
Probably because Craig told you, like, they suck.
No, he didn't
Don't
tell me.
Don't go see it.
I can't blame Craig. I think there must have been some other thing that I wanted to see. But so I'm, you know, if we go next year, I'm hoping for four in a row for them so I can go see them.
Yeah. Well, so far, it seems like everybody's signed up. Everybody's already reserved rooms.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because we nobody really wanted to commit because they didn't know what everybody else was going to do. And then it kind of like, once Barrett said he's in, that of course made everybody else say they're in too. So I think some of us will definitely be going next year. We're not sure if it'll be everybody, right. but people were pretty, everybody really, I mean, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. And I think most of us did. So
yeah, it was just, I don't know. Hopefully we've talked to some, you know, talked some listeners into going too. One of them did,
yeah.
That Rand.
Yeah, you kept trying to meet up with him. You were trying so hard to meet up with him.
I've never heard him say his last name, but I guess it's Gessing, G-E-S-I-N-G.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, maybe I'm not supposed to mention his name.
Ah, it's okay. He won't mind.
Now he's famous, and he never asked
yeah,
for that.
That's a good point, yeah.
But, oh my God, he was there, I think, for business, because he didn't have a badge or a wristband, and I was like trying to meet up with him and meet up with everybody else, and it's kind of a tough deal. So
it's a little bit difficult happen. If you're moving around a lot.
Because everybody's moving around a lot.
Yeah, I think you were saying that he was basically trying to chase us around. It's like, well, okay, I'm here now, and then he tries to go there, and they're like, well, wait, now I'm over here. And now, you know, every
it was
30
weird.
Minutes you're moving.
And at the same time, I was chasing you guys, and like, I'm going to chase Will. Like, oh, I'm going to go find Stephen Thompson. I'm going to go, you know.
Right.
It was, yeah, Thursday was kind of chaotic. I would plan things a little bit differently, learn something from that night, but it was a great night.
All the nights were great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, we have a wealth of bands to talk about. In fact, we've already got, you know, the next few weeks covered as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's just incredible. Great. So I think I had some insightful, brilliant thing to say, and I forgot what it was.
Something about Chai being fun.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I played. I was so excited about Chai. I was like, I'm playing in the coffee shop. And I did. And I realized that stripped of its context, like I was working with Wilson and we were playing Abbey Road and just slipped one Chai song in there. And it just sounded so, I mean, obviously in that context, it's a little bit weird in itself, but just having it in the coffee shop was like, I don't know. It felt like I needed to turn it down and explain to everybody, hey, everybody, I know this sounds kind of weird, but it is actually cool because it was at South by Southwest and like there's all these people are writing about how cool it is. So it's not just me.
Right.
So it's really cutesy, but it's also really subversive and without any context, it didn't, I don't know, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, the context matters, right?
Context matters.
So we're going to just, it's kind of bad, I think, how much we're burdening everybody with our talk about South by Southwest. But another thing I was thinking about is all these venues, right? Just, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
And so many I never went to. I never went to the Mohawk.
Mohawk outdoor and indoor were really, really great.
And I never went to Stubbs.
No, I didn't go either.
Of course, they had some of the.
They had kind of bigger stuff. They had like Car Seat Headrest was there.
Yeah.
We didn't get to Hotel Las Vegas. We tried. We walked there.
Right. And we didn't get to the, you know, they always talk about that big church, right?
Yeah.
That people play at. And we didn't get there.
I didn't even get to Beerland, except that one time when we tried to find Craig at the end.
Oh, right, right.
The only time I walked in there.
Right, right.
But.
Yeah. So anyway, it's such a fun way to see a whole lot of bands.
Right. Another benefit too is like, for me, if I looked at a schedule next year, it wouldn't just be like, oh my God, what? I don't know what to look at. You start off like, who's playing at Cheer Up Charlie's? Who's playing at Valhalla? You know what I mean?
Right.
You sort of have a feel for the places and stuff. So even if you never went again, which I intend to go again next year, but you kind of see, you know, what's the up and coming cool stuff just by looking at who's playing at these things that you went to the one time you were there.
You're right. And then the lists that they put out, you can scout it too.
Yeah.
But it does require some planning, because that was the other thing I was thinking, that I wouldn't want to go down there and have no plan, right? And just say, well, how did Jeremiah do this? I need to ask Jeremiah this. The last day, you know, we came back, he stayed one more day, and he saw like a dozen more bands, most of which seemed really good. I'm wondering, like, how did he find them? How did he know where he was going? Did he map this out? Did he just go to the familiar venues and just stumble upon them? Because I think that if you're just too completely random, it might be a little bit unsatisfying. I think you have to target, you know, some bands that you just know that you want to see.
Right. I'll agree with that with a qualification, though. Like, when you first read the list, you're like, "What? I don't know what these things are. I don't know what any of this is."
Right.
So you have to do a little bit of homework first before you even realize. It's not even just like reading the list. You have to like listen to some stuff and read what other people are writing about it. And so, yeah, I don't know what Jeremiah did on that last day.
It was impressive, though.
Yeah. Maybe Jeremiah just likes everything. He's a very agreeable person.
That's true.
He might have just wandered anywhere he went. He's like, that's pretty good, too.
You know what? Everybody's probably
just inclined to say something bad about.
We've been babbling so long that people have probably just turned it off and deleted it by now.
Yeah.
The file's just been deleted, right? But in case you haven't, I have neglected to mention that we tried to sort of bomb the social media and we put up a whole bunch of videos that we took from South by Southwest. So if you go to our Twitter, at Will's Band, or the Facebook Will's Band page, and now, thanks to David's help, we've revived the Instagram page.
Yeah.
And it's also just called Will's Band. And we put up a whole bunch of videos up there. They're pretty fun. I have mixed feelings, because it's fun to document, and I love doing this. I love documenting like 35-second videos of the bands that I saw. But I did find that when I came back and I was watching them all, I kept thinking, God, you know, just watching a video just doesn't do it justice, right? It's not loud, and it doesn't have the immediacy and the intensity of being there. So I'm still glad that I did it, but it still can't quite match the experience of being there.
Well, that's very true.
So everybody should go.
iPhone videos are less good.
Yeah.
So if you're like, I don't need to go to South by Southwest, I'm just going to watch their iPhone videos.
Yeah.
Don't do it, because being there is better.
Right.
Yeah, I can't even really conjure up. I mean, I guess that's what it's meant for, is to, you know, you were there, you took it, it conjures up the whole thing so you remember it. But for somebody that wasn't there, I guess you can get a bit of an idea, but it's just sort of a, you know, little snapshot.
Right.
But, you know, if you live in any kind of a decent-sized city, chances are some of these bands are going to be coming your way this spring and summer. Even here in Madison, we've got, you know, several.
Some of the bands that we saw.
Black Midi's coming.
Black Midi is coming. Black Belt Eagle Scout is coming.
Yes.
The Beths are coming.
Probably more. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Right.
Disc. Oh, they're playing with
Disc. Because they're from Madison.
Yeah,
of course they're going to play here.
Right. But they're opening for somebody that was in South by Southwest.
I think that's for Black Belt Eagle Scout, right?
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be worth going to.
Yeah.
That new hole in the wall place on the east side.
Like some art space or something, right?
Right. Yeah.
I didn't even heard of it. So.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Have we babbled on long enough now?
Probably.
What's the difference between babbling and blabbering?
Blabbering, I think, has more of a negative. Like you can blabber for like a minute.
Okay.
And then you're blabbering, and
babbling can go on for like
babbling
half an hour.
is more like too much of something that might have been okay in a short. So we've been babbling.
Babbling, yeah. I
think some people may disagree.
Right.
Maybe we've been blabbering too.
They either turned it off, like I said, and deleted it like 20 minutes ago, Or they might be thinking, don't let it end. Keep right. talking. Please keep talking.
Right.
right. the dog doesn't care if we keep talking, you can tell.
He didn't care. Look He's sleeping. Yeah, yeah. Hopefully nobody's hasn't been so objectionable that people are unsubscribing.
That's what we have to hope. Yeah. Do not, please don't hit the unsubscribe button.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Even if...
give us another chance. We'll return back to pretty much normal.
Right.
Right? I think we will.
You know, if you don't even ever listen to it again, if you have it on like automatic download,
yeah,
it still shows up as a number.
And we get we credit.
Feel like yeah. we feel like you listen to it. It doesn't do... What do you care? Just have it... Takes up some space on your phone. Plus, makes us feel good. Just
yeah.
keep it on there.
Plus our numbers look better then, and we'll be closer to... Bob Boylan and David Frick.
Right. And when, right? Yeah, right.
I mean, we pretty much are like them because we were hanging out with them.
Right.
Don't you think? Did anybody in our group talk to David Frick?
I did.
What was it like? I mean, did
you just say... It was really, really embarrassing.
Yeah.
I was... It was so on when I was Friday
talking,
night.
I was talking to Bob Boylan while you were talking to David Frick then.
Yeah.
So what did you say? David, well, big fan.
no, I was at... It was called Latitude 30, and that's where... The comet is coming.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. He wrote about that. I read the...
He did. Yeah. He wrote about them playing at Empire Garage, and then he came back and saw him. That was on, like, Wednesday. He came back and saw him, so he was really impressed. So I felt validated, of course.
Good.
Anyway, right. I was over at the bar getting a beer, and I saw him talking to a guy, and it was kind of near the back, so there wasn't not a lot of people around. And I was like, I want to take a picture of him. And I was like, I had a few beers, so I'm like, I'll just go talk to him and just say what I have to say.
Sure.
And basically, my whole thing I wanted to say was like, hey, I don't want to be creepy and just like sneakily snap a picture of you, so I'm going to come and ask you if it's okay. You know, can I take your picture?
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me like, what? And I'm like, I don't know, I just was going to take your picture and don't want to look like a weirdo. He's like, okay. And I took his picture and slunked away, walked away with my tail between my legs. And later, looking at the picture, I was so embarrassed about the moment that I deleted the picture.
Oh, that's kind of sad. But was it you and him or just him?
Just him. Oh. I didn't want to ever think about it again.
See, because I was like, I just decided that Bob Boylan wouldn't mind. Right?
Yeah, he wouldn't mind.
Many people are going to walk up, and he's like, so I just said, hey, would you mind if I took a photo? And I just did a goofy selfie.
Yeah.
I mean, I think most people wouldn't, you know.
He didn't mind, but it was just such an awkward thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah.
Well, next year it's going to be all the other people asking for a photo with us.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure the tide will turn, and we will suddenly be the indie rock stars.
That's the guy that discovered Otoboke Beaver.
Right. All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you've made it this far, should we do one of those codes? We have one t-shirt left.
Yeah, if your name is David Guessing and you've made it this far,
you get the shirt.
You have my, he's got my contact information on that WhatsApp thing that we used.
Okay. But it's a medium.
Oh, I'm sorry, not David, Rand. Rand Guessing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a medium, though. So you can't...
It's a medium.
Yeah, the only shirt we have left is a medium.
He's like a medium-sized guy. I met him at the coffee shop.
Okay. If you want a medium shirt, the first person to say... Let's see, what's the code? 3786... But I did kind of already...
Seriously, like, this is the guy that was... Rand offered to pay for all the shirts. He's like, I want a shirt so bad.
Well, he should get
one. I'll give you guys several hundred dollars to make a bunch of shirts.
Okay, so if Rand fits a medium, he should get the shirt.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the first person to say, please, I would like a medium shirt,
right,
and gives us their address, gets the shirt, right?
Right. So if that describes you, write in or, you know, call, not call, you know, all the ways. Wait for the contact info.
willsband@yahoo.com. That'll do it.
And, Rand has the right of refusal, but we'll make some more shirts.
We can make more
shirts. I'm going to make shirts in my basement.
So we made business cards because the first night that Craig was there, before we got there, he was like, hey, we need business cards. So I made this basically emergency order and paid as much for the shipping as I did for the cards. And we only had 50, right?
Right.
We gave them all away. Gave them to people. And it was great. It was really fun.
It was great.
And it's like, we're not really serious business type people, but we sort of just decided we're all a little bit on the shy side,
right?
But we just decided what's the harm, like what's it gonna hurt to just hand somebody a business card? So we just started doing it, you know. It was great. I gave the woman from Fritz a card. I just said, you know, like your band, we'll be talking about you on our podcast, here's a card.
The person that made the documentary on the chills,
yeah. You gave
her contact information. We're gonna interview her.
She should be on the podcast. That would be
for
really
sure.
Fun.
Yeah,
that
you
would
should
be
do actually, an interview.
That would be legit. So anyway, I ordered a whole bunch more business cards.
Right,
business in quotes.
Nice. Yeah,
and we'll do more shirts at least like by next year.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Remember
fun,
the
fun stuff.
So the cards. Oh my God, everybody's so pissed off. The cards were supposed to arrive on Wednesday when we got to the Airbnb.
Right,
but
right.
We were out Wednesday night, and it's like, what about the cars? Like, oh, yeah, I don't know if they came or not. But that night, somebody's like, we met somebody and like, do you guys have a business card? We're like, oh, fuck.
Right.
Sort of, but not they, with us.
They came, but they came like late on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We weren't there.
Who was that? It was somebody that was like, it wasn't just like some jerk, you know, it's somebody that we actually would want to have that business. I know what it was. It's when Jeremiah, me, and or Jeremiah, Chris, and I were interviewed on Taiwanese TV.
Were you out of cards?
No, I didn't. We didn't have them yet. It was the first night.
Oh God!
The reporter was like, and reporter or whatever, producer was like, "Do you guys have any business cards?" No.
Oh, just missed it.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Maybe Sherry saw us on TV. She probably would have told us that.
That's got to get published, and we've got to see that, because that would just be so cool. You've got the photo with the singer, you know.
Yeah, I also have a photo of Jeremiah talking to the reporter.
Yeah, that's great.
that was really,
oh my God,
truly bizarre.
Yeah,
and fun.
All right, we've redefined babbling now, right?
Yes.
Let's say goodnight. We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @willsband. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.